make it possible for you to be identified when you go to your services.
What happened was I changed the mailing
address to the
bank.
And then they recognized me. Yeah. You get the bacon to go with it or just the normal?
No, by the time I will. It's a BT.
Okay. So the cookies shouldn't affect your mailing address. Is it your email address you're talking about?
No.
Yeah, it's your physical address. Yeah.
I love Mammy.
Well, the cookies in your browser would only affect your ability to automatically get into your system. And since it's banking, they shouldn't be doing automatic get in the first place.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, like with Yahoo, you approach Yahoo after the last time you were logged in, and unless you logged out, you're still logged in. Whereas your bank shouldn't be following those practices.
What are you looking for?
Yeah, and really, you wouldn't notice whether you removed cookies or not from a banking experience. Okay. Yeah, even though the removal of the cookies would be valid, and the bank would still create new cookies, nothing about your experience would change by removing them. I mean, as far as your experience. Now, what's happening in the background does change.
So what's new?
I did see something over there. What is this?
My daughter, it's a docking station, that's all I know about it. It belongs to a friend, she'll sell it for 100 pages.
What does that cord fit?
It requires a specific kind of HP.
That's what I thought.
With an HP laptop.
Yeah, it can only be used with an HP laptop.
That's what I thought.
So that's the limit. So if anybody wants it, she'll take 100 pesos OBO.
Okay. 100 pesos is cheap enough if you can use it.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah? Should we come to some semblance of order? It looks like I'm 5 minutes over already. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. It's Tuesday, September 4th, and we're meeting a little after 9:15, but I've had the stream on for a couple of minutes now.
Wow.
I come with no topics, except if you guys aren't aware of it, I did write an article for Vince's paper, The San Carlos Wireless. It's on the back part. I brought a stack of them if anyone's interested.
Oh, really?
All right, I'm just going to pass the stack around.
This way.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to repost it on my blog. So if there isn't enough here, you can pick one up at Vince's shop. I had no idea there'd be so many people here. He told me to grab as many as I wanted. I'm sorry, guys. So what it really is it's talking about the difference of Windows 8. Oh, and Gary's read it, so Gary, don't complain. You've got a copy.
Where is it? The back page?
It's on the back page.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's the very last page. You think computers are important? No. Okay, it's the page before the back page.
It's not the back
page. Windows 8.
All right. Keep them going. Keep them going.
Well, that's a long article.
Here's another one.
So what I would appreciate from folks is any kind of comments, like, was it interesting? Was it helpful? Was it not worth writing? And you should write something else, because I'm going to write him another article, and I haven't decided quite yet what it's going to be. He's suggesting some controversial topics like FCC stuff and FTC stuff, stuff that I do know quite a bit about. My default seems to fall back on teaching, and every time I sit down to write technical writing, I end up writing a class. And so I actually feel more comfortable writing these kinds of articles than I do the kind he's suggesting.
This is an old
one. Well, Scott.
Yeah.
We have to vote on this, first of all, before we can find out what's inside.
Okay.
He just gave it to us.
Yeah, no.
Now you want to vote, huh?
No, not at all. No, I want you to take them in at your leisure when you get a chance. If you're interested, read what I've written. If you find it helpful, useful, if you find it garbage, just any of it's acceptable. Please give me feedback so I've got an idea for the next article I write.
It helped me because I'm waiting for the inevitable when I have to buy one.
Yeah.
I'm saving these.
Where do you get this thing?
Well, I believe you can pick up a copy of this at just about any one of the advertisers that's in it. But then it's Vince that has the Sonoran Sports Center. He's reopened it as a...
It's reopened?
He's open from 9 to 12 doing bike repair. And so he's like the Sonoran Bike Center now.
He comes out about once a month?
Once a month. I think he's 2 months behind for the next issue. I actually was talking to him the other day. I'm like, I thought I missed the last episode. And he's like, no, you haven't missed the last one. We haven't put it together yet. And so I plan on writing another article for him. I think I'm going to end up using it as... I'm going to take topics that we've talked about here and then go in slightly more in depth on the articles. So I didn't give you these to just start reading. We're still going to have a computer club meeting. It's not a book club meeting. So take them home with you.
I thought it was helpful the way you described the difference between the input of the computer and the output of the computer relative to tablets and...
Yeah, I mean,
that thing. You can get a laptop to do an either way thing, but you can only get one direction of the tablets talking to you. And you're not necessarily talking to it the same way.
Yeah, the language I like to use, I think you're saying is, whether or how you're using a computer is, for creative purposes or for consumption purposes.
Yeah.
And we're building devices, even though computers up till now were intended to do both, and that's the reason you bought it. Most people use computers for consumption. The more the internet has become more popular, that's really what people are doing with them. The only creation stuff that was going on was things like your taxes. Like document, the Christmas letter, flyers for churches and clubs and kids' birthday parties, things like that. And so about 90% of what typical people would use a computer for would be the consumption of information. And so now in this day and age, we've got devices that are built specifically for consumption. That's where the tablets come from, is this idea that 90% of what you do can be handled by a device that's tailored towards that group. Looking at web pages, doing some emails and such. The smartphones are very, very close to the same kind of thing. It's slightly different because of their attachment to cell networks and telephone calls. But yeah, so that's what I outline in this is the various differences of Windows 8 and where how you find it. And 8.1, of course, is mentioned in there too. And I thought I would continue on that line for some more articles. But to start out Computer Club, the only topic I come to the table with is Google has sold Motorola to Lenovo. Did you guys see that?
I saw that.
No.
In one quick swoop, Lenovo has not only the title of the largest PC manufacturer in the world, but now they are the third largest cell phone manufacturer because they own Motorola now. It's kind of interesting. There's a lot of talk around how Google had bought Motorola originally for about $12 billion, and that was 22 months ago.
Sold it for a little bit of nothing.
Yeah, sold it for $2 billion, $2.1 billion. Yeah, what's a billion?
How about $10 billion, yeah.
But aside from that tech news, I really haven't come with anything specific. So if people have questions or topics of interest.
Yeah, sure.
My Dell is about 6-7 years old.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. XP on it. So it's a good time to get a reasonably priced computer that will do mostly email and what I need to do.
Yeah.
I do a little drafting. Not too much pictures, but...
Well, if you're looking to just do the same as what you were doing on that computer, then you're really looking at a computer within the $300 to $600 market.
How many makes?
Half of people repeat the question.
Yeah, no, the question is just what am I looking for in a new computer since I have to replace my Windows XP computer? And really, if you're still running a Windows XP computer, everything you're doing on that computer can probably be done with a $300 to $600 computer. Hey. We've got tractors in the background.
Curious, that's a lot of hardware out there. I wonder what they're going to do.
Would you go Windows
8? Well, at this moment, you don't have much of a choice. It's Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. The only reason it would be Windows 8 is because where you're buying it from has decided not to restock laptops from the same vendor that have been updated to Windows 8. You're more than likely you're going to find 8.1 computers. Yeah.
Couldn't he get a 7 computer on eBay?
You could, and you could get a Windows 7 computer at Dell, and I think HP's selling Windows 7 computers too.
What about a touch screen? If you get another computer, does it make any sense to get a laptop with a touch screen?
If you're going Windows 8 or higher, it doesn't make sense to buy a computer without a touch screen. I mean, touch screens are just where we're going in the future. It's very cheap. A touch screen is, the question is if you should be looking for a touch screen. If you're looking at the latest Windows operating system, you're looking for a touch screen. Touch screen shouldn't change the price of your computer more than $100 to $150. It's a pretty set price now. It's a very common component of a computer. It's kind of like the webcam in the lip. It's just become the norm. And so you don't save a lot of money, but with the operating systems as we go further into the future, it just makes a lot of sense. I also, in case I ever forget to say, I tailor these comments to this group, these kinds of people. It's not necessarily the same advice I would give to a corporation looking to retool their computer lines, right? This is really, we're retired in San Carlos, right? We're just typical people using computers into the future at a slightly senior level of age, right?
But far more
energy.
Some more slightly than others.
Yeah, Jim. Media players that would be recommended for.
Are you talking about software or hardware?
Well, and when you say media players, are you thinking like ones you carry around with you, or ones that you've plugged into your TV set?
One that I would plug into the TV set. Right now, I've been torn everything. Great commercial. My problem is my wife is not very computer literate, so I go to bed at night, I don't pay in on there, and we've got all downloaded. Once that's over, she has to go to the media player server with a remote on it that she can go through and watch a movie or make a speech.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at now. What media player would I want?
Yeah. Jim, because you describe what you're already doing to get content, and she's like, you need like a spouse's friend, right? Kind of the way we used to refer to Vonage. Yeah. Well, it gets complicated with things like Apple, unless you're gonna like an Apple TV using AirPlay from your Apple equipment, or even just iTunes. You can do iTunes under Windows, because the videos that you're downloading have to qualify to. I mean, they have to be of that range of capabilities for Apple. So it's hard to recommend Apple for people that are BitTorrenting. I mean, if your goal is to put these files that you've already got a process, but you want to put them on a TV and make it easy for.
Put them on a little hard drive.
Yeah. You know, a really easy suggestion, and not specific equipment. I'm not talking about specific equipment. But I know that my sister-in-law just bought a brand new TV set, and under a budget, I mean, she had a budget, she couldn't spend very much money on it, but one of the stock features that came with it was the ability to read media files through a USB port. And she's able to plug her 1 terabyte portable hard drive into the back of her TV set, and the TV set already supports software for navigating through the files and starting them up. And so that might be the kind of solution you're looking for. To take it a step farther, I don't remember the name brand of her TV, but I remember thinking it wasn't a common name brand, and they bought it somewhere around here. They bought it at like Santa Fe's or one of these places. Yeah, and what it supported was a media streaming player, like a server for the files. If she didn't want to put them on an external device, if she wanted to run them from her computer. And so she loaded up this software that allowed her to point to a directory full of files, and then that broadcasted it on the wireless network to the TV set. So she could use the TV remote to navigate those files in her computer.
Can I make a comment on this?
Sure.
I have a Western Digital. I have a Western Digital that has a hard drive, and you can download into that. Of course, you can also use it to tie into Netflix and Zulu and all of those. But you can also download it. It has a hard drive. You can download from your laptop or your computer into the Western Digital and then play it on the TV.
Is that something you buy locally?
No, I bought that, I guess through eBay or.
Do you have one you want to sell locally?
Well, I might want to sell that and get me
Roku?
Roku 3. Yeah, I could do that.
I'm not certain if that's the file sharing. I mean, the Roku.
Roku 3 does not have a hard drive and won't do what I'm describing, but the Western Digital is.
I have 3, and that's why I brought it up. I got real paranoid if I start touching his equipment because he's not computer literate and he's afraid if I break something, I'll break something. He could be right, but he has the Western Digital.
Yeah.
And I was amazed, like, he's got 3,000 movies on it.
Yeah.
But it ties into a little hard drive.
Yeah.
That's right.
And 20 years of.
And then you can send that to your TV through an HDMI cable.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of capabilities that you're looking for.
I'll tell you what, you get me a Roku 3, which is a lot. You give me a Roku 3 and I'll give you that. And the reason why I say that is because I like Amazon Prime movies. And I can't get Amazon on my Western Digital.
Really? Amazon isn't supported on the Western Digital?
It's not supported
on
Amazon Prime.
That's right. 12 or 15 others, but not Amazon Prime. Made me mad.
Actually, Amazon is commonly considered to be on all platforms. I didn't realize that it wasn't on the Western Digital.
So
Amazon Prime.
Roku 3, I'll give it to you.
What is Amazon Prime?
You can get a Roku 3 for about $100.
Hold on a second, Bob.
Yeah.
Is everybody familiar with what Amazon Prime is?
No.
Yeah.
No?
Oh.
Because hey, Bob's asking about it. It occurs to me we've never really had much of a discussion about Amazon Prime. But Amazon Prime is
pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's pay-per-view. But what it really is shipping, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's free shipping. You pay.
Exactly.
You pay, I think it's $80 a year.
It's not worth it unless you buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not for the shipping,
for the shipping.
But then what you get is access to Amazon devices, like on the Roku. You're able to bring up, they have a catalog of television and TV and movies that you have access to.
I can do those without, I haven't joined Amazon Prime.
But Amazon Prime has a catalog.
So I'm missing something.
Yeah, there's some features that you're not
doing. Facebook? Well, Netflix?
It's like on Netflix, you pay by the month.
Right.
Here, you pay by the year. That's the only difference.
But I just read something that they're going to double the price of Amazon Prime.
Oh, really?
I haven't heard of that.
I just read it. I don't remember where I read it.
I haven't seen anything like that, but I'd be interested in seeing it because it seems like a real reasonable rate.
CNN. Amazon Prime might go up a lot.
$80 a year?
Well, the difference between Amazon Prime and Netflix is Amazon has a catalog of stuff that you're able to watch because you're a Prime member.
For free.
Well, not for free. You pay $80 a year.
Okay. Well, yeah.
All these movies I've been buying, for $80 a year, I could get the download them for free?
Yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily, because they have a catalog of things that any given time they've worked out the licensing agreements for you to be able to watch them for free. So it's not always the same category, catalog, very similar to Netflix.
You can't download it either.
You can, as long as those copyright licenses have been worked out. And the difference is Netflix doesn't have a model like that, where you can't go through a catalog of stuff for purchase on Netflix and download and own it. The other thing that's interesting about Amazon and Amazon Prime is, don't you have like a video locker that you always own the content? Even if they lose their ability to sell you the content?
Yes. I've never looked at that.
Once you've got it, you own it.
You own it. And so they will store it for you. You'll always have rights to download it. Or at the moment, that's how their policies work. You'll always have rights to download it.
She just brought up Amazon Prime, and they've raised the price.
Well, they're considering it. That was CNN money, and their $40 increase they're considering.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, and then for that price,
because they can,
you've got free
shipping.
That's
$10 a month. Right. Yeah. That's exactly what it is about.
Yeah.
We bought an iPad for Christmas, and my daughter said, "Now you can get free shipping if you go with Amazon Prime." And so I signed up for Amazon Prime. I've got, a month? Free?
Yeah.
And then I can cancel it.
Oh, okay.
And there's no cost. But
so they want you to try it out.
But it's also on Roku. Amazon is sitting there.
Yeah. Right.
And I guess that if you buy the Amazon Prime, then that gives you Amazon for free, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
But I don't want it.
Like I said, I'll do a trade with you. So.
Well, if you have Netflix,
then we'll both be happy.
And if you have movies on, I have a question about, is the day coming when you can take a flash drive and plug it into the TV?
Yes, that's what we were just talking about. Yeah.
Okay. You got to have a smart TV, right?
Yes. You have to have software in the TV to be able to read the flash drive and navigate the flash drive.
That's not necessarily a smart TV. Smart TV. My Sony, which is a couple years old, has that. It has a USB
port.
But it's not a smart TV.
Well, I would disagree with you, Chester. If it has that, it's a smart TV. It may not be the smartest TV around.
Yeah.
But it doesn't
have Netflix.
It doesn't have Netflix, but Netflix is, I understand that to common thinking would be that if it doesn't have Netflix, then it's not a smart TV. But the truth is, what makes a smart TV is having that navigation system, having an operating system to access that hard drive.
Thank you for telling us that.
Now, yeah.
I have an old TV, like I do, and I want to watch Netflix, which I have at home in the States.
Yeah, you'd want to get one of these media players we're talking about. Like Chester's got the Western Digital. A Roku is a very decent product for doing Netflix.
But if you have Roku, you still have to have a Buffalo box.
Well, you're talking about having a VPN into the States.
Yes.
Now, that's going to be a decision that you make based on what services you want to use. My most recent experience was with somebody that wanted to use Showtime Anytime. And they subscribed to Showtime through their DirecTV subscription in the States. It's actually a friend's, you know, borrowing a friend's box. And they don't have, they wanted to be able to watch it on their TV down here. I don't remember how that worked, but for some reason she didn't have it down here. Maybe she's not, doesn't have DirecTV installed down here. Whatever, regardless of how it is, she had to have a VPN. Right? There was no way for her to be able to watch Showtime Anytime down here without a VPN. Showtime Anytime is the ability to, well, that's really the, I remember now, that's the real reason that you want to use Showtime Anytime. Is because you don't, even though she can watch Showtime in real time, which is available through the DirecTV she has installed down here, she wanted the ability to go back through a catalog of Showtime shows and watch episode by episode and pause, fast forward, rewind. She wanted those capabilities, more like a Netflix experience with the Showtime content. And you could not do that down here without a VPN to the States.
And what VPN did you get?
So it was a combination of two different things. We talked a little bit about this a couple of meetings ago with the Chromecast, because that's what she was going to use, was the Chromecast. But then for that to work correctly, she needed a hardware VPN, like we've talked about with Chester a lot, a cloak box. In this case, I got her a router and set her up with Hide My Ass VPN, which is possible to set up with a hardware VPN. Well, it's both. It's a service that you subscribe to and then a router that you set up to connect to it. And
so is Cloakbox.
So it's similar to Cloakbox. It's the same thing. Well, the VPN, I mean, when it's a piece of hardware, you stick it in between your media device and your internet connection. So if it was a smart TV, you'd connect it up to a VPN router, which would be connected up to a Telmex router or a Mega Cable router.
Well, I just ordered Chromecast, and I won't need that external unless I want to watch something in the States.
Well,
I'm just watching what I've downloaded on my computer. I should be okay, right?
The reason for the VPN is based on the services you're trying to use. Some services will not allow you to use them outside the United States. And so something like Cloakbox is what you need. You need to make a VPN into the States so that it thinks you're in the United States and allows you to use that service. So I'm trying to keep it general, but to be very specific, Showtime you cannot do down here without a VPN.
Showtime Anytime, you cannot do
down here without a VPN. HBO Go, you can't do down here without a VPN.
So you have to have that turned on in order to watch it through your TV.
Yeah, you have to subscribe to Showtime. You have to have a Showtime Anytime account, and then you have to have a VPN to the States. Well,
it's hardware.
In this case, yes, with the Chromecast, because she wanted to use the Chromecast, that was the way to do it.
What does VPN stand for?
Virtual Private Network.
And how much did that cost?
Yeah, let me give some more examples. Netflix is a service that in the last couple of years has grown its Latin American catalog. And if your only goal is to watch Netflix down here, I encourage you to try and do that first before buying anything. Because you could find that the catalog is ample for what you want to do. Now, two years ago, it was scarce. If you would go into the Netflix catalog 2 years ago, and there was a bunch of random content that focused on being Spanish first. And my favorite example was you could find MacGyver episodes that were only available in Spanish because they didn't work out the licensing agreements for the English, and there was no reason for them to try and provide that content down here. But now it's a whole different story. Because my folks are Netflix users, we found out even this last season that everything that they had been, their series that they were keeping up with and the movies, even their queue that showed what they were currently watching, they were able to pick up probably 90% of what they were doing without a VPN in Mexico. It's still the Latin American catalog, but it's become so much more robust now that most people get into Netflix down here now and they don't recognize that they're missing content. So, yes, your question. Right. That's right. You all.
Same drop and speed.
That's right.
It's still the same drop.
Yes, you do have a drop in speed. Now, there is a technical drop in speed that can occur depending on the hardware you're using. Because a VPN inherently takes more processing power. You're basically encrypting and decrypting, so you're cranking up more horsepower out of your equipment. So it is possible for a lag to exist in, like, say, an older laptop. May slow things down, but it's insignificant compared to where we are now. And then having a hardware VPN, like having a router that took care of it, would pull that burden off of your equipment. So when you use Hide My Ass on, what's that?
You would not have a lag if you had the VPN before your router.
Well. If there was a lag or a hardware issue because your hardware just wasn't able to keep up with the software VPN, then you could eliminate that burden by putting it on the router, getting a piece of hardware. That's its whole job.
And that goes before the Telmex router? Or?
Yeah, you got the wall, and then you got the Telmex router, then you've got your VPN, and then you have all your equipment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you back to answer one question about that?
Okay.
When you have Amazon Prime, you order a movie that's on your PC.
Right.
Do you have to watch it right then?
No.
You can watch it whenever you want.
In Netflix, is it the same thing? You watch it whenever you
it's
want.
It's on demand.
Yeah. The difference with Netflix and with Amazon Prime, if you paid like pay-per-view, the Amazon Prime, you should not lose your ability to access that content.
At any time you want.
At any time you want. Yeah. On Netflix, you're leasing their catalog. And so at any moment, they could enter into different copyright agreements and pull content you were hoping to be able to watch. It's not in their best interest to do that, but it can happen. We just watched a bunch of Disney content disappear from the iTunes store. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I mean you can backtrack it to all the logistics, but what it comes down to from your experience is one more reason why didn't I buy it as a disc, right? I could have gone to Walmart and bought that movie. Now Netflix doesn't have it. Now I got to find a different way to get that movie. Whereas with Amazon Prime, you buy it, it's yours, it's in your digital locker, you have rights to it. I think even if you
download it to your computer?
No, you can't download those to your computer because it's a violation of trademark. None of the providers of movies or paper.
We're talking about two different products.
Yeah, that's the
definition. Two different products because Chester mentioned pay-per-view, which is like renting a movie. Yeah. Well, that's part of Prime. And you can do that with the instant video on demand as well.
Because right now, I just buy it, and I download it to my PC, and I put it on my list.
Right. And you can still do what you're doing with Prime.
I can.
Yeah. Prime just adds this extra catalog of stuff.
Where are you able to download it onto your computer?
Well, the difference is between renting or buying.
I bought it.
Oh, you bought it. Okay.
Yeah.
You paid the price. By the way, speaking of movies, I watched one last week that I sure recommend, Captain Phillips. That thing is riveting.
It's good.
It is good.
Yes.
Captain Phillips.
Okay. Well, the gym has a wireless connection to start with, but you should be able to stick it on your device. What you would want to do is download it on your PC because you're in Mexico. I think this is what you found out, right, Maggie? You couldn't.
I had to use a VPN to be able to download it.
To download it to your PC?
Put it on my PC, I had to buy my VPN.
Oh, wow.
They wouldn't let me download it until I did that. And then it was always in my library, but I couldn't download it. And when I switched over to my VPN, I could download it.
If you're downloading it to watch it, but if you're downloading to make the disk out of it, which is what I was trying to do, I'm told you can't do that because
that's
copyrights.
Yeah, you guys are agreeing, and that's when I started this comment. I didn't realize that was the case. So you're able to stream it,
yes,
without an issue, but to download it to put it into a device, they won't allow you to do that from Mexico.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, I think isn't that how the rental model works?
I can tell you how to do that with DirecTV.
With DirecTV?
What you do, if you have a DVR and DirecTV, you can play the movie and DVR it, and then later you can come back and watch it.
But she wants to put it on an iPad and take it to the gym.
I don't think so.
And I think that if you were in the States, it wouldn't be an issue. But down here, you need to use a VPN to pretend like you're in the States.
But even with a VPN, I can't do that because of copyright law.
Well, no, you can. Yeah, you're able to do it because you're purchasing the content.
Right, and that's what I would do.
Yeah, so you would. Right, and you let's say you like. Buy a series.
If you're going to buy like $18 The Walking movie, if you're going to do if you're just going to watch a movie for $4.99 or $5.99, my understanding is you can't record that and
right, but
you can watch it, but you can't stream it.
But Chester, what we're talking about is making the purchase, the digital purchase.
Okay, that's $18 or $19 purchase.
Well, sure, yeah,
okay.
but that's what we're talking about.
Don't think so. If you're streaming, there's no additional charge. But if you want to buy the disc,
that's right.
You're going to pay $18 or $19 per movie.
You're buying content the same way you used to walk into a Best Buy and buy discs.
And I'm not sure
you're essentially buying content. Mm-hmm. That's right. And so that is yours now for all practical purposes. Okay, and so since you purchased it, iTunes should not touch it. They should, even if they lose their licensing agreement with, is that Showtime or HBO? I think
Showtime.
It's Showtime, yeah, Homeland. So if they lose their licensing agreement with Showtime for whatever reason, you shouldn't lose your content. That's right, it should stay in your library, it should be part of your cloud services. And that's definitely how Amazon Prime works.
So she should be able to watch that then without an internet connection?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah. You she can stream it. Now, the Homeland example you got from iTunes, right? So you should be able to stream that. Are you able to download it, though? Is it in your... If it's in your iTunes library, to your library.
And then if I connect my iPad to my PC, I can play it.
Right, okay. Sure, yeah. So maybe if you've already got it, did you do that while you were down here?
Yeah.
So you were able to download the... See, now that's the difference, because you've got the content on your PC, and you can move it to your iPad.
I downloaded it wirelessly to my iPad.
Oh, okay. Well, Amazon Prime, or Amazon, from what Maggie's experience has been, and I was helping her with some of that stuff, she's always able to stream it, but was not able to do that activity, was not able to download the content and have it available. And the only way she's able to do that was by creating a VPN. Yeah. And so why are you considering Amazon when you're already using iTunes? Oh, okay. You're just looking for... Okay, yeah. No, if you're already in the iTunes... environment, it's really hard to get out of it. It's already working for you. You've already got the equipment. It already works for you.
Unless she wants to buy
some kind of an iDeal through Amazon. And then Amazon Prime would work for her.
Well, no, she could add Prime to what she's doing,
mm-hmm.
but given the circumstances, and given how she's not having limitations with iTunes, how she would have limitations with Amazon, there isn't as much incentive to move into doing that. You can still do stuff with Amazon, like you can buy videos for instant video watching. Yeah, so all that's still available. The difference with Prime is that there is a catalog of streamable content that's freely available that you could take advantage of the same way you use Netflix. There's a distinction there with Prime versus just buying videos, buying content. But there's a distinction with no difference when you compare it to iTunes. It's actually a diminishing difference, right? Because you can't download that content, whereas on iTunes you can download it.
Can you get news or anything like that?
Not yet.
Does iTunes have more of a limitation for what you can download though than Amazon Prime? In other words, the catalog is it like more specific for certain things and not for live?
Well, I would, in my opinion, I'd say obviously not, because Disney and Apple stock are all merged together, and they lost Disney content for some reason. So there's no rhyme or reason to these licensing agreements.
And I just looked at Breaking Bad on Prime, and it's not there.
It isn't.
Not available.
No, but it's on Netflix.
Right.
Wait, is it available for purchase, like on instant video?
But not Prime.
But not on Prime, yeah. Right. Yeah. And so the Prime is really a supplement. It's not.
I want to start watching that while I still have my Prime.
They may have it.
Yeah.
Right. You can add it to your list, whatever that means.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the big distinction would be buying, owning, just having access to it. Yeah.
From what I'm doing is I just want the series that I watch.
Right.
I just like to have them when I'm traveling and I don't have that.
Sure. I mean, that's a good reason to do it. A good reason to buy from Amazon is because that content can get into all kinds of different devices. Whereas you buy from iTunes, it's much more difficult to get that into your Nokia phone.
Right.
Yeah. My Chromecast, instead of putting the TV, the computer on my stomach and lying in bed watching it, I'm watching on the TV.
If you can stream it on your computer, then you can stream it. Then you can use a Chromecast to put it on the TV.
I bought one. I'll call you when it gets here.
Okay.
Is there a way? When you're traveling,
you know that exists already, but you pay a pretty penny for it, and there's a lot of stipulations because it's all done through the cell network. And we've got cell services, at least in the United States now, called LTE, the 4G stuff. And that is faster than most people have as the internet in their house. Yeah.
But the problem is no one now sells unlimited data.
That's right.
So you're going to have a data issue. You start downloading movies and that type of thing while you're traveling, you're going to eat up your limitations in a hurry.
Absolutely.
So
one of the,
it's
one,
not practical.
One of the most common limitations on that. The standard unlimited plan for AT&T iPhone is a 5 gigabyte cap on it. And so what that means is that if you go over 5 gigabytes, you're paying per gigabyte. I think the last thing I saw was like $10 a gigabyte. That 5 gigabyte, to give you a comparison that's reasonable, high-quality Dolby Surround video is about a third a gigabyte for an hour. Right? So you get 3 hours will take up a gigabyte, 15 hours is going to use up your data cap. And so that's
Is that cumulative or is it just
by the month?
Pardon? For the month.
You got like 5 gigs a month.
So it's cumulative to the month.
That's right. So if you had a month where you watched over 15 hours of, you'd expect like a $10 charge, at least a $10 charge tacked onto it.
Arriving at five.
Yeah, they let me know on the internet. They sent me an email. Yeah. I got 7
so
phones.
So you don't go over and ask them.
Yeah.
Well, if you're aware of it, that's right. I forgot about that. AT&T sends out emails telling you when you're getting close to it. Verizon does the same thing.
Then I call my grandkids and say, get off.
Well, and you can buy more data, but it just becomes extremely expensive. Yeah.
And no one now will sell you unlimited. They did for a while.
What's that ad that AT&T has that's $25?
It's like everything else in our society right now. They redefined what unlimited means. Unlimited means 5 gigabytes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I keep reading that ad thinking, well, gee, I should do that.
Right. Unlimited up to 5 gigabytes.
Okay.
Is there anything in a piece of hardware that can make a TV into a smart TV?
Well, you've got that already, Bob. You've got your Roku box.
Yeah. You're there.
That's what that is. And what we're going to... Well, one of the trends that is predicted for the future is we're going to have these large... Did you guys see that CES had a 65-inch LCD TV? Right? 65 inches, and it was just like $1,000. It was... just insane how cheap it was. And what they're going to start doing is they're going to start providing features for a TV set kind of the same way you provide features in a car. Right? AM, FM radio versus Bluetooth adapted system. And that's going to affect the cost of the TV set you buy. I think one of the trends we're going to see is this ability to buy just a blank monitor. And we can add whatever... Right, we can add our own media player to it. Exactly.
That's all I need. I don't.
We buy a Samsung 65-inch flat screen, and you can buy the Samsung media player to integrate with it, or you can buy the Roku, or you can buy the Apple TV or the DirecTV. That's because, yeah, we
want you to add stuff.
You just don't need a tuner.
We're so seriously narrowing down in that gap of where. They want to give you the equipment because they're making money off of the services they're selling. That's right. Yeah, or Polaroid cameras. Yeah. Oh, okay. We're still in the realms of computer technology. Well, go ahead, Gary.
I have a 1.5 terabyte hard drive that I have all.
Woo. Woo.
And when I take that to, I use it on one particular computer and I put stuff in and take stuff out of it.
Yeah.
When I bring it to another computer, my Windows 8 computer, and I want to delete something off that hard drive, but you can't do this. You've got to go to administration or something. That little symbol comes up like a...
Right.
What's the way around that?
Well, what's going on? Are you moving it between 2 different operating systems? Yeah. So that's definitely why. It's because it's bringing with it the permission levels that were set under Windows 7 on the other computer.
You can transfer it between XP and 7, and that doesn't happen.
That's right. From XP and 7, it's not an issue.
But from 7 to 8, mm-hmm. It's not the 8.
But doesn't it let you give it administrative authority to do it?
I don't know how to do that.
That's what I was going to get to next. Is that you're able to change the security settings on it. When you go to delete it, doesn't it pop up with a message?
It says you need the security player whatever the message is.
Right. And if you say yes?
You should be able to say
yes.
Both.
I tried okay and I got cancel and whatever else it said.
Because it shouldn't be bothering you more than is this okay and you click okay and it goes ahead and does it, but it has to take administrative permission of that device.
Somewhere in there, you've got to go to the administrative Yes. Check them and say, do this or don't do this.
Because you're, it's an external hard drive that you're using casually, it would be very, it would be very simple to just go into your drive and change your permission levels. You can just take ownership of that drive. If you go into the properties, actually, do you do it on the drive or the folders? Now that I say that, let me see here real quick.
Well, I know the problem. The problem is never what you say, it's always how you say it.
Good. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When you look at the menu, you see lots of items on the menu, and you ask yourself, what the hell is that? What's going on that? What's he going to do?
See, that's the problem right there. You say, what the hell is going on?
There's something
okay.
On that menu thing. They take ownership. What does that actually do to
that's
you?
What I mean. Yeah. If you click on that, what kind of trouble are you going
well,
to
exactly. Yeah, right.
Went over my head.
Well, well, yeah. Ownership is the root of permissions. So, like, if you take ownership, you've slapped your username on it, saying that I have full control over this. There are things out there that, because you're an administrator on your computer, you should be an administrator on your own computer, that when you try to access them, maybe they didn't give your user account access to it, but you've got administrative privileges. And so what happens is you get a message like you can't change this without being an administrator. And that's what you're doing is you're bumping up your permissions by saying, okay, well then I'll be an administrator on it. You should be able to delete
it.
Well, if you're an owner, then it shouldn't ask you that.
If it's on some of those, then you know why.
Well, I know why. It's because something got screwed up.
Yeah, my friend.
But can't you go into the
control panel?
Right.
Can't you go in the control panel and change that?
If you go to the properties under security, you can change that. And you can get into trouble with this. Let me see the best advice I can give you. Let me give Gary advice. Okay?
Well, you stop by my place.
Okay, but in general, in a nutshell, I would go to security on the external drive, and when you look at the security page, in fact, this would be a good thing for us
that's
to go over
properties.
Next week, through properties, yeah. You go to your drive, you click on it with the right mouse button, you go down to the context menu to where it says properties, you pull up properties, you can see things like the general properties show you how much space is left on the drive. There's a set of tabs across this window, and one of them is security. Security's broken into two windows. The first one says groups or usernames, and the second one shows what permissions are set for whatever group or username you have selected in the top window. So for your situation, I would hit the edit button, which is just under the groups and users. And it'll bring up another window of securities, and there's a button there that says add. Actually, you probably don't have to, because it probably has everyone in the list already listed, and that's what I would recommend, is I would click on everyone, and I would checkmark allow for all the permissions. You can do that just by picking the first permission that says full control. You just click and put a checkmark in there, and that would give every user on your computer full control of that external hard drive. It's a blanket. Open this up to everyone. So you could take that hard drive and you could plug it into...
Which computer is on?
The 8. Yeah, on the 8 computer. Yeah, you know what? Actually, that might work from the 7 and then bring it over to the 8, but it definitely would work on the 8.
Okay. Yeah, could you... The next obvious question is, it's not easy to change. Why put it in your face in the first place?
Could you go through the steps? Property, security?
Right mouse button on the device, and then you click properties from the context menu at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
The device is in my computer.
Okay. Security.
And then security. Yeah, that's the tab. And then the edit button.
Edit.
Yep.
Okay.
And then there should be an everyone there, and you can just click full control and okay.
Okay.
Full control, okay.
Yeah.
So my computer is where you begin the process.
That's right. My computer is where you find your hard drive. Yeah.
Full control, okay, then allow all permissions.
But when you're the only guy who's ever going to touch that computer, why have to deal with that stuff? Why not just get rid of it?
You know, Gary, you've been complaining about security for as long as I've known you, and I think people are starting to listen to you. In Windows 8, or at least in Windows 8.1, let's go back a moment to Windows 7 and Windows Vista. I don't know if you guys are aware or remember or using it, but when you bring your computer into a new Wi-Fi network and you get connected to it, there's a dialog that pops up that says, is this a public, private, or business? Okay. So that's a little convoluted. In case you don't know, you always want to pick public, right? You always want to pick public, and the reason is because when you pick public, it locks down all the security on your laptop. So you're not sharing things by accident, you're not opening up anything for any other computers on the same network to get access to. You always want to behave as though you're in a public location, because that provides you with the most security. When you pick business or home, you're basically saying, I'm safe. And I've got resources I want to share with other computers on this network.
I have a computer that thinks it's the computer, and it works fine there with it. I bring it home, it won't work with fine. My Wi-Fi at home. That probably has something to do with that, but I'm not sure.
I doubt it has anything to do with that. It's more likely that there's a compatibility problem with security, like their computer is connected to lousy security, and your router puts out a better security, and the computer that you're transporting back and forth doesn't support the better security. It's more likely something like that, because we went through a period of time where there was equipment that wouldn't support the latest encryption standards, and you still run into it from time to time. Yeah, you probably got a new modem. It had higher level security turned on from the get-go, and the old computer's equipment can't support that new level of. And it might be as simple as installing a new driver for that, or it might be that you need a new wireless device for that computer. Is it an older computer?
Well,
Windows Vista. But it's Windows Vista, right? Yeah, so that dates it, and it's the operating system right after Windows XP. XP is 12 years old, so it falls in the realm of, let's see, when did 2006? Yeah, I think it was 2006. So yeah, it's 6 years old, 7 years old. Yeah, XP is not being supported. Vista will be supported, I think, until 2017. Yeah. So if you've got an old computer you're running XP on because you hated Vista when it came out with Vista, Vista's a good working operating system now, and if you don't want to buy a new operating system, you could go back to a Vista license and be good until 2017. Well, it depends on when you gave it up, because the mess before, many people gave up Vista right when it came out because Vista was broken. Vista's not broken anymore.
So if I go back to it, I get the new one, the fixed one?
Well, yeah, you go back to the broken one and immediately update it with all the patches and fixes, and then it would work great as a computer.
What do you do with an old XP that you're putting?
That's been the question. What do you do? A lot of the equipment is too old to support the new operating systems. Even I mean, the sad thing with a computer that was sold when XP was the operating system is that you will diminish your experience. With the latest operating system, it will feel slow and sluggish. You will spend your time on that computer wondering why you even bothered to upgrade it. That's just the reality of it. However, if you took a computer that was built for Windows Vista, it came out during that time period or later, you wouldn't feel it. I can help you work that out. We can get discs for these stuff. That's the case.
Would you say that one of the if you bought a computer when?
Yeah, if you bought a computer back when XP was the only option,
right?
Then no matter what you do to upgrade that computer, it's always going to feel sluggish with the latest operating system. You might even run into the problem of not having manufacturer-supported drivers. So you're left with generic drivers, whatever you can find to make it work. To me, especially with this crowd, I think that's opening up a whole can of worms. I think that you would be very disappointed with going down that route. The software upgrade would be about $150 for the operating system. For another $150, you could just buy a cheap laptop with a brand new operating system. And so I would never recommend taking a computer that was built for XP and putting the latest operating system on it. Well, then my limit is Vista. If you had bought your computer during the time period with Vista or later, so in Vista or Windows 7, then I guess I'm really just talking about Vista-built computers because Windows 7 is a fine operating system to stick with. You could stick with that until Windows 9 comes out. The issue is really XP is losing its security fixes. So what do you do with an XP computer? If it's one of these computers that was a Vista computer and you put XP on it because you were so angry about what they did with Vista, well, now it's kind of a legitimate thing. You could go back to Vista. If you didn't want to buy the latest Windows operating system, you just wanted to keep doing what you're doing and have the security support of Microsoft, then you could put Vista back on it. You have a license for it that came with your computer. And what I'd say is you want 2 gigabytes of memory. You want to have 100 gigabytes of hardware space. You want to have a dual core processor. And that would justify buying Windows 7 or Windows 8 and sticking it on the operating system. I'm sorry. Totally misspoke. My mind rambled to a different topic. That would totally justify taking XP off and putting Vista back on it. Yeah.
Well, he was talking about a 6 or 7 year old computer. And one of the things he said was, after 3 years.
That's right.
3 years, you'll be looking at a new computer. Now then, my question to you is, I have 2 computers I'm afraid to give away for fear of having lost information. Is there anybody in Mexico that uses computers, I know there used to be, or schools that you can give it to, and what do you do to make the computer safe to give away?
Yeah. Yeah, format them. An easy answer is if it still has a restore system. Because if the computer has a restore system, then you can restore it back to factory defaults without any, it'll eliminate all the data that's on it and put it back like it was when it came out of the box.
Okay.
And that's a good option for name brand computers.
Okay, now there used to be, in Ranchitos, there used to be a group that took old computers and used them for teaching purposes. Who does that now?
Yeah, I'm not certain. Does anybody know?
The schools.
Yeah, that's the first one that comes to my mind is
really?
Castaway Kids.
Well, I know, yeah.
But I can't think of anyone else that's
what's
doing that.
Phyllis said they bought a bunch of gateways for Castaway Kids. So they might do that, but she's moved back. Right, yeah. She's gone, but I'm just saying that Castaway Kids is on.
I've been involved with Castaway Kids, but there's other groups too, and the schools don't have money for things like that.
Yeah, I would bet you could drop that stuff off just at the public school in the Ranchitos here.
And Rotary is involved.
Oh, you're right.
Rotary.
Yeah, Rotary. There you go.
Yeah, I would think Rotary.
Rotary sounds like the best option so far. But Rotary and Castaway Kids, those are the two. Yeah.
Because the kids really are using computers to get in school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I tell people all the time, they'll bring me a project, and I'll be like, you don't want to put money into this. By the time we're done with it, it's going to be almost a satisfactory computer, and you're going to not be satisfied because you'll have enough money into it that you would rather have that money towards a new computer. And it's going to cost you $250, $300 to make something run. Why not just take that cash and put it towards another $250 to $300 and buy something brand new? And then take this computer, which is still a decent computer, and hand it off to some promising Mexican student to just tinker around with. That's right. And there are some computers out there that are worthless in that respect now because they've bridged a gap where, or they've reached a gap where you can't get parts for them any longer.
You mean by Apple?
Depends. Is it mint in box?
No, those suckers stuck around a long time.
Yeah. Right. A lot of this industry considers the Apple II the first real PC.
Yeah. I like the size of your computer.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble getting away from a netbook. I go out on site and I try and do things from my phone and my tablet, and eventually I end up in a situation where I have to plug a cable in, or I have to do something very specific that's Windows based. And
I want that Lenovo big. I want that Lenovo.
This is a Toshiba.
I can buy something like that.
Right. Yeah. That's right. They all have Windows 8 on. No, not at all.
I want that.
Yeah, and actually what I do with this one, when I get home, I add it to my office. I've got more than one computer at home, but I like to use this one as well, and so I plug it into a big screen and a keyboard and a mouse, and I use it like a desktop computer. Yeah, it's still running Windows 7 Starter, which means that I can't run two displays, but it's a software handicap. Yeah, if ever I decided, no, I want to be able to see something here and over there, two separate things, then I would have to get into the Windows 7 Home or a Windows 8 operating system.
So I wouldn't be hurting myself if I
did this. Well, I mean, really, this kind of device came out when this was coming out. And this isn't an iPad, but let's pretend it's an iPad because they dominated the market. And so all the hardware manufacturers were trying to keep up with what was happening at Apple before they were ready to put out products like Apple did. So this was a flash in the pan where they would take all the components that you might build a tablet out of and build it into a PC that would be cheap like a tablet price. So you could buy these for $200, $300. Now these have kind of, they really turned into kind of the ultrabook market, which is much more expensive. You get up to $600 to $1,000 computers. It's Lenovo, Toshiba, Samsung, they all have them. Well, the Surface is kind of an answer to all that. You can get a Surface that is very much a PC in every respect like this, but then it's got a touch screen, it's got a detachable keyboard. Yeah. So you can get a Surface that's more like a tablet, and that's a reasonable price. It's like $500. Or you can get the Surface that's like a PC, which is more expensive. It's closer to $1,000 for the keyboard. Well, if all you're looking for is a computer like a Toshiba, Toshiba's got things that are $300 to $600 that perform the same thing. They're not exactly the same thing. Like you can't take the keyboard off and carry it around cradled in your arm as a tablet. But if your goal is to sit in front of it with a keyboard, then those $300 to $600 Toshibas are fine. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of a touchscreen? Why does anybody want a touchscreen?
Just for easier interaction. I mean, that's really all it is. It's another way to interact with your computer, and it's more popular for consumption. The idea is flipping through pages in an article or zooming into pictures, things like that. And I think there was a time when a touchscreen would add an additional $300, $500 to the price tag. That's not the case anymore. Touchscreen is standard equipment. It adds 100 to 100. Pretty soon you won't even be talking about adding a price to it. Because it is just, it'll just be standard. And the reason people will buy without will have some bizarre security issue with it. It'll have nothing to do with its interaction. It'll be government contracts that are specifically, and by that time you'll probably be paying more to get it without a touchscreen. Because if they will have tooled it up so that the touchscreen is the cheapest option.
Did you see where they have some service that works with a bunch of the big hotels and stuff? The credit card stuff.
Oh, another one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a service, I can't remember the name of it, but they work with a lot of the well-known large hotels.
Yeah.
Found out now that they don't have.
Are they on
the island? I don't know where they're at.
Are you thinking about all the last hotels you were in?
No, I have people that own them.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jim.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I'll wait until you sign off.
Thank you,
Seth. I don't feel lonely.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'll be back. I'll be going back to the States for most of February, but this is really informative, and I'll definitely be back.
Oh, great. Well, look for us online if you're not, if you can't be here with us. We stream it online every meeting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay. So same time at SCC Club. I'll do my exit. Hey, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club, and we are finished. My name is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for computer help, look me up at internationalcsi.com. Otherwise, you can look up all our previous content at sccclub.org. You can tune in there on Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15 to hear our meeting. But if you miss it, you can come back to the website and you can listen to a recording. Sometime later this week, I'll put up this meeting. You'll be able to hear everything. If you find yourself listening to a meeting, can you make a comment about what you found interesting so that it'll be easier for me to organize and inventory this content? If you have any questions, need any help, leave a comment at the website at sccclub.org. Like I said, this is Scott. Have a good week. We'll see you next Tuesday.